days, it's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
It is Wednesday, the 10th of July. Let's begin together in prayer, praying the morning offering of Saint Therese in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. O my God, I offer thee all my actions of this day for the intentions and for the glory of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I desire to sanctify every beat of my heart, my every thought, my simplest works, by uniting them to its infinite merits. And I wish to make reparation for my sins by casting them into the furnace of its merciful love. O my God, I ask of thee for myself and for those whom I hold dear, the grace to fulfill perfectly thy holy will, to accept for love of thee the joys and sorrows of this passing life, so that we may one day be united together in heaven for all eternity. And all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Happy Wednesday to you. It is the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, a production of Sacred Heart Radio. I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell's got news. Paul Lockman's at the controls. And we got some great guests this hour. Dr. John Bergsma will be along, and he's been doing a series with us on the Psalms. Today we're looking at Psalm 91, which talks about God as our refuge, our fortress. And what does it mean to call God those things? There's kind of some interesting symbols. We'll talk to Rita Heikenfeld, our Bible food expert, about shrubs. And I don't mean the short, boxy trees. This is actually, maybe you've seen shrubs. They're trendy, fruity, vinegar-based, syrupy drinks. If you don't know about them, they're not actually new. They're several thousand years old, and Rita will tell us more about their origins in the lands of the Bible. Gary Zimak's going to be along from followingthetruth.com to talk about how Abram and Sarah can tell us about how to trust God. And Father Jeffrey Kirby will continue our series on divine providence and how things actually do work out when we rely on divine providence. So, hope you can stay with us. Right now, it's 2 minutes past. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. Labor Secretary Alex Acosta is defending himself amid calls for his resignation. Acosta is taking criticism for a plea deal he helped to broker for billionaire financier Jeffrey Epstein in Florida years ago when he was a U.S. attorney. Acosta tweeted yesterday that new charges against Epstein involve allegations of wrongdoing that are, quote, horrific. He said he's pleased that New York prosecutors are moving forward with a case based on new evidence. Epstein is charged with alleged sex trafficking of underage girls. While Democrats are calling for his resignation, the president has defended him. Obamacare could be on the ropes. Mark Mayfield reports.
A federal appeals court heard arguments yesterday over whether the health care law is constitutional now that Congress has abolished the penalties for the individual mandate. That rule required people to be covered by health insurance or face a fine. Two of the Republican-appointed judges on the appeals panel suggested that Obamacare may not survive if the individual mandate is unconstitutional. Whichever way the court rules, Obamacare will likely go to the Supreme Court. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
A federal judge is blocking an attempt by the Department of Justice to change the legal team trying to put a citizenship question on the 2020 census. Judge Jesse Furman said the department failed to provide a reason for changing all the attorneys. The Supreme Court blocked putting the citizenship question on next year's census after questioning the reasoning that the government provided for it. President Trump, however, said he is not giving up and wants the DOJ to continue looking for a legal way to proceed. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is calling for prayers for Christian brothers and sisters in Iran. While speaking at the Christians United for Israel conference in Washington, D.C. yesterday, Pompeo spoke about four Iranian Christians sentenced to 10-year prison sentences for acting against national security. Pompeo said they were sent to prison after being beaten for running house churches. He said he prays every day for people of all religions persecuted in Iran and asked those in attendance to do the same. A Venezuelan cardinal has reiterated his appeal to the country's government of Nicolas Maduro to engage in dialogue. From Vatican Radio, Linda Bordoni reports.
Archbishop Baltasar Porras of Mérida, Apostolic Administrator of Caracas, and President of Caritas Venezuela shone the light on the limitations and intimidation perpetrated, he says, by the government against the local church in Venezuela. He decried the fact that church organizations that are bringing aid to the impoverished population and even parishes are continuously under pressure to stop their work. Meanwhile, Venezuela's government and opposition have agreed to resume stalled talks. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Former presidential candidate Ross Perot has died. He was 89 years old. The Texas billionaire had been battling leukemia over the past 5 months. He started Electronic Data Systems Corporation in 1962 and Perot Systems Corporation in 1988. Many pundits argue Perot cost George H.W. Bush the 1992 election when he ran as an independent. He ran again 4 years later. And the American League is celebrating its seventh straight win over the National League in the MLB All-Star Game. Joey Gallo's solo home run in the seventh inning held up as the AL edged the NL 4-3 in the 90th Midsummer Classic in Cleveland.
So as you were reading some of the other news stories, Paul Lockman, our technical director, was regaling with all the stories of the scoreboard errors.
There was not a single error
on the field, but there were some scoreboard errors, some misspelled names.
Interesting.
Some names placed with the wrong pictures, some people placed on the wrong teams on the Jumbotron.
Huh.
Some things like that.
Uh-oh.
I just want to say all that to say that, you know, we sometimes make clerical errors in the course of our reporting / interviewing and such here on the Sunrise Morning Show. I want you to know that it's not, it can even happen to the All-Star Game Jumbotron person.
It can happen to the best of us. Yeah, I went to bed when it was 4-1, I think, or 3-1, I forget. But, you know, I'm really enjoying in terms of, because the game itself is not terribly interesting to me. But yeah. I really enjoy the fact that they have, like, microphones on some of the players and they're, like, talking to them as they're in the field.
See, that's one of the reasons I stopped watching.
I find that so entertaining.
See, I did not. I mean, a couple of years ago, I think Bryce Harper was out in the outfield and, like, Joe Buck is, like, interviewing him about what he thinks the Cowboys are going to be doing this year. I'm like...
No, see, the conversations this year was a lot more interesting. A lot of the players... were like asking for tips from them, like, you know, like, tell me what the pitch is that's coming. And it was pretty funny, actually. I enjoyed it anyway.
You know me, when it comes to baseball.
Yeah, I know. You're a big traditionalist.
I'm a traddy.
But, I mean, the All-Star Game,
I'm a rad trad.
Like, come on. Well, they're not going to do it during the World Series, but the All-Star Game is so uninteresting.
Yeah, you say that now.
So uninteresting.
The smoke of Satan has entered the baseball universe.
All right. We'll see. It's 8 minutes past the hour. Dr. John Bergsma joining us on the Sunrise Morning Show. We've been going through his book, Psalm Basics for Catholics, Seeing Salvation History in a New Way. Good morning, Dr. Bergsma.
Hey, good morning, Anna.
So we're continuing our look at psalms that we should know out of the pensive book four of the Psalms. And today we're on to Psalm 91, which I think many will recognize once you get going with it. Doc, can you give us an overview?
Sure. Let me just read a little excerpt, Anna. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness. For he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. On your hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. With long life, he will satisfy them and show them his salvation.
And he will raise you up On eagle's wings. I just cannot help but hear that tune every time I hear the words of this psalm. And, you know, as I was reading more about Psalm 91 in your book, Doc, it made me even sadder about On Eagle's Wings, which was a favorite of mine when I was a kid, but is now one of my least favorite tunes in the Missalette, or in the Glory Hymnal, I guess it is, because it's just so saccharine. And this psalm is not saccharine. This is a psalm of spiritual warfare.
It is indeed, Anna. You know, it's so interesting. You know, I used to be a Protestant pastor, and I was involved in deliverance ministry, doing, you know, downtown ministry in a medium-sized city up in Michigan. And we used to use this in deliverance ministry, Anna. And then it was so striking that later, after coming into the church, I found that it's one of the psalms used for the solemn rite of exorcism. Mm. And then, you know, I do research on the Dead Sea Scrolls, and all the way back into, you know, the first century B.C., Anna, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, we see this psalm lumped together in some of their documents along with other prayers of exorcism. So,
wow.
You know, for literally for as long as we have record with the Jewish and Christian tradition, this psalm has been prayed for God's protection against evil spirits.
That is incredible. And I mean, this is a psalm that even Satan quotes in Scripture, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, at the temptation, Satan quotes this as part of his ploy to tempt Jesus to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple, saying, you know, well, the angels will catch you in their hands. Of course, the psalm isn't urging us to do rash and foolish acts, placing ourselves in danger for no good reason, just to try that out. And so our Lord obviously doesn't buy the gambit from Satan. But yeah, it's interesting that Satan turns this around and tries to use this part of a temptation.
Well, I mean, interesting that Satan tries to use it as a weapon in his own spiritual warfare.
Indeed, and that gives us some pause, because we have to remember that even Satan can misquote Scripture,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we could talk for a while about why we need the church then to help us in interpretation. But you're right, yeah, he does twist that. Maybe he is trying to get back against all the times that have been used against him.
Yeah, he's taking it out of context, one of the scriptural references that he would use against Jesus, as you say. Now, how does this psalm, Psalm 91, also underpin the church teaching on the existence of our guardian angels?
Sure. This is one of the main texts, along with a few in the New Testament as well, like our Lord talking about the angels, the little children that always behold the face of his Father in heaven, on which, again, this is one of the texts on which the church bases the teaching that we each do indeed have a guardian angel. And, you know, we ought not to think that that's just some kind of, you know, thing that we tell kids, you know, as they're growing up, to make them feel better and get them a little prayer card, you know, with the angel and the two little kids walking through the forest and something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually, you know, extremely serious and something for adult spirituality. And if when you look at the lives of some of the great saints in the church's history, St. Teresa of Calcutta, a recent one, St. Jose Maria Escrivá, and Padre Pio, and many going back, they really emphasized this teaching of the guardian angel, Anna, and for all ages. And I try to pray to my guardian angel every day and trust myself to his care in the little circumstances of the daily life. And that's something that we all, I think, really need to try to practice.
Absolutely. And you also recommend memorizing this particular psalm when it comes to dealing with anxiety. I mean, how would you say that this sort of fits into the greater context of Book 4 of the Psalms?
Well, the people of Israel in Book 4 are out in exile in Babylon, where they're surrounded by pagans who are worshiping essentially what are demons. And in such a frightful circumstance, when you're surrounded by people that are worshiping demons, it's so important to recall that God is more powerful than these other spiritual forces. And you know, that's kind of what we're living in today. So I think that's the psalm is perennially relevant, let's put it that way, and always worth committing to memory.
Well, yeah, certainly. If it goes back to, what did you say, the first century B.C. with the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yeah,
yeah, that's far back as we've got records.
Yeah, I think certainly it's been an important psalm if we continue to quote it today in exorcisms and see it all the way back that far. So we've been talking to Dr. John Bergsma. The book is Psalm Basics for Catholics, Seeing Salvation History in a New Way. Dr. Bergsma, thank you so much.
You bet. Talk to you next week.
All right. That sounds good. You can, of course, find the book linked at sonrisemorningshow.com. Just click on the show notes for today. Checking on weather now, the Great Lakes and Southwest through the Central Plains will see robust thunderstorm development today. A brief tornado or two, large hail and damaging wind gusts will be possible. As the disturbance moves further east, showers and thunderstorms will multiply from the Ohio Valley into the deep south later this afternoon and evening. The eastern Great Lakes to the Sunshine State will also get hit with rain today. Showers are likely along the Gulf Coast, especially from Alabama to Louisiana, where a disturbance emerging into the Gulf of Mexico will begin its tropical transition. And meanwhile, a few showers will dot the Pacific Northwest, while plenty of sunshine will blaze the desert southwest and the west coast today for your Wednesday. 16 past now on the Sunrise Morning Show. We're back with headlines right after this. Stick around.
Central Fabricators is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show and encourages other Catholic business owners to do the same. Central Fabricators knows that the Sunrise Morning Show is where you'll get the news from the Catholic perspective, while keeping you up to date on what's happening in the Vatican as well. It's also a great way to keep in touch with the Catholic faith throughout the week. Central Fabricators, based in Cincinnati, Ohio, has been in business for more than 70 years. On the web at centralfabricators.com. That's centralfabricators.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so why not try some of your favorite Mystic Monk coffee blends over ice, like their white chocolate macadamia nut or their Paradiso blend with notes of hazelnut and orange.
They also have a great selection of teas that are great over ice, like lemongrass mint to cool you down on a hot day.
And remember, when you buy Mystic Monk products through the link at sunrisemorningshow.com, a portion of your purchase goes to help support our radio apostolate.
Get your favorite blend of Mystic Monk coffee or tea, as well as a Sunrise Morning Show mug at sunrisemorningshow.com.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from J.J. White Incorporated, the single-source multi-trade contractor for your next construction project. Since 1920, J.J. White has been constructing with knowledge, integrity, and safety. From industrial to commercial projects, J.J. White does it all. With offices in Philadelphia, Boston, Whiting, Indiana, St. Paul and Rochester, Minnesota, and Newcastle, Delaware. For excellent construction service and quality, count on J.J. White Incorporated. 215-722-1000 and online at jjwhiteinc.com.
Father Robert Spitzer.
First of all, you will get a much deeper awareness of your faith, much deeper awareness of the evidence for your faith, explanations of tough theological issues, how science and reason and faith come together, and above all, a deeper awareness of how to practice your faith and how to live it.
Father Spitzer's Universe with Father Robert Spitzer. Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
18 minutes past the hour, here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
A hurricane may be forming out in the Gulf of Mexico. The California lawmaker who sponsored the bill that would have disregarded the seal of the confessional says he removed it from consideration because he felt it was unlikely to pass. And a Chicago area religious sister who gained national attention last year for her pitching arm is up for an ESPY award tonight.
All right. See, now that's some baseball programming I'm going to watch.
Yeah. Tuning in to the ESPYs.
Actually, I don't know. They probably start after my bedtime.
They probably do.
Okay, so next hour, I know you're talking with Carlo Broussard of Catholic Answers about explaining the intercession of the saints.
Yeah, he's pulling a double shift today because I believe he has Catholic Answers
I
tonight.
I think he does. Yeah. Oh, well, there are a couple things I want to mention then here, because on Friday night, I'm going to be not the guest host, but the guest on hour two of Catholic Answers.
Oh, cool.
And it's going to be a kids' call-in show.
Oh, man.
And I'm terrified.
I have to tune into this.
because, you know, those are the shows where they, the only questions that they field on Catholic Answers
are
the
kids.
Ones from, like, kids, which means the hardest questions on the planet.
What is the hardest question that you've ever gotten from Zeke so far?
Well, there's the dad is Chewbacca in heaven question.
Is Chewbacca in
heaven? And then I had to try and unpack the whole meaning of are literary characters real, because that's actually philosophically a very difficult question. Then there was the other one that's not necessarily theological, it's more philosophical. Actually, it's a little bit of both. And that's the classic, Dad, when somebody's brain explodes, can you see all their memories?
Oh, wow. See, I haven't gotten anything like that from Roma yet.
Really?
I think there's still time, but... No, she doesn't think like that. She just tells me theological truths that she picks up from looking at all the statues and stained glass windows at our church.
You've given birth to a mystic.
I might have.
You got a Carmelite on your hands, Anna Mitchell. Look out. 21 past. The weather's getting warmer, so why not try some of your favorite Mystic Monk coffee blends over ice, like their white chocolate macadamia nut or their Paradiso blend with notes of hazelnut and orange.
They also have a great selection of teas that are great over ice, like lemongrass mint to cool you down on a hot day.
And remember, when you buy Mystic Monk products through the link at sunrisemorningshow.com, a portion of your purchase goes to help support our radio apostolate.
Get your favorite blend of Mystic Monk coffee or tea, as well as a Sunrise Morning Show mug at sunrisemorningshow.com.
I'm Father Timothy Shear, and these are Biblical Impressions. Of all the prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah is thought to have been the very best. Some prophets had their doubts. Remember Jeremiah, when he said that he was too young and inexperienced? Elijah even prayed to die because he believed there was nothing more for him to do for God. But Isaiah was quite different. He answered God's call without hesitation. When God said, "Who will go to deliver the word of the Lord?" Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." For this quick response, the rabbis taught that Isaiah was rewarded with the privilege of repeating the good news in his oracles. For example, halfway through his beautiful book, Isaiah twice says, "Comfort, comfort my people," as he prepares the people to return from exile back to their homeland in Palestine. Later on, urging the exiles to leave Babylon, Isaiah says twice, make your way out of Babylon. And in that same chapter, Isaiah says twice, wake up, Jerusalem, and put on your finest robes. Isaiah received the gift of a double portion of God's Spirit, just like the prophet Elisha. A good lesson for all of us. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Shear.
It is time for Bible Foods, and our help for that is Rita Heikenfeld from AboutEating.com. Rita, good morning.
Well, good morning, and I think you're going to like the subject today.
Yeah, we're talking about shrubs, but just to clarify, we are not talking about miniature trees.
No, we're talking about shrubs, and it's actually a drink, which has become very popular in the last couple years. But the history of shrubs, drink, I might add, Matt, is from the Arabic sharba, and that means a drink. And when you think of just drinking vinegars, I mean, it's not that common today, but they have a really long history stretching back to the Babylonians and the Romans. So, yeah, when you think of Bible times and the drinks people had, and, you know, vinegar was a common, not a condiment, but a common drink with water during Bible times. Christ drank it. They used it just about every day. And how vinegar was made in those days, vinegar means sour wine, so wine basically just turned sour. But when the colonial era sailors came to this country, they carried these shrubs aboard their boats. And the reason they did, it was to prevent scurvy during the long voyages, because when you think of no fresh veggies or vitamin C, shrubs are actually made with vinegar and fruit, so you've got the vitamin C. And that was one of the reasons they brought it. And then the settlers coming to America also put shrubs in as part of their food supply, Matt. Again, that vitamin C content from the fruit prevented scurvy. And the vinegar, think of that, it's a fermented liquid, which are big right now. It was really good for the digestive systems. So, and then during the temperance movement, way back when, there were a lot of 19th and early 20th century housekeeping little recipe books that contained recipes for shrubs.
All right, so this sounds like the kind of thing that we could make at home, or we could spend, you know, quite a bit of money at the store to get it bottled. But then what's the most common process for making a shrub?
Oh, and you know, you're right. They're really expensive at the stores. You can make it really inexpensively at home. All it does is involves basically starting out with two things, vinegar and fresh fruit. And you want vinegar that has like a 5% acid because that acts as a preserving agent. So you can use any kind of fresh fruit. And the riper the better. You know, if you've got like a melon that's, when I say dead ripe, that is perfect to use. So, you know, waste not, want not. So basically, you got a lot of freedom with whatever ingredients you want to use. So again, basically it's fresh fruit and that you infuse in vinegar. So what you want to do, you want to take a couple cups of fruit, fresh fruit, and then you want to clean it, and if you have to peel it and seed it, you can do that. I've got some melon shrub working now, some mushmelon. So I've got two cups of fruit, and then all I do is I will put some vinegar in a saucepan just to heat it up a little bit, and I'll pour that warm vinegar over the fruit. And then what you do, you just let that fruit infuse in the vinegar mat. You can put it on the counter. You can put it in the cupboard, in the fridge. Just doesn't really matter where it infuses. And the nice thing about it is if you make like a melon one or, say, a strawberry one, it only takes a few days to infuse. But the nice thing about it is, say you're busy with the kids and you want to make the shrub, you can just put that whole jar in the fridge or in the pantry, and you can leave it for as long as you need to leave it. The vinegar acts as a preservative, and I've never had any go bad. It's really, really easy. Again, the fruit infuses the vinegar, and then what you want to do, when you open the jar and you can sort of smell like the strawberries, and then the strawberries look like they've put their color into the vinegar, what you do, you want to just strain that fruit out. I like to strain the fruit out because it's basically used up, and then I'll add some sugar, put it back on the stove and add some sugar. So say I've got two cups of infusion, and I'll add about anywhere from 1 to 2 cups of sugar. And you just heat that on the stove till the sugar melts. And I'm telling you what, you let it cool, and you use that as a syrup. You don't drink it straight. You can add it to some sparkling water. People use it for cocktails. They're putting it over ice cream, salad dressings. Just such an ancient syrup, really, and you make a very popular drink called a shrub. And I'm thinking you might use, instead of just plain melon and like apple cider vinegar or white, clear vinegar, I think you're going to probably go a little bit different and go in another direction with fruits, and some people even put like jalapeno peppers in it.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this. There are a lot of different ways that you could go with this. So you could do, like you say, peppers. You could do almost like a pepper jelly type of recipe, except as a shrub. But you could do, you mentioned lots of berries would work well. We talked about mint recently on Bible Foods. I mean, I guess that would even work.
Oh, yeah. You know, basically it's fruit and vinegar. And then you can add anything you want. Like you said, the peppers, the mint is absolutely delicious. And if you go to like a trendy bar, you're having a night out, and on the cocktail list, they'll probably have shrubs listed. But again, it's ancient, from the Babylonians on, and the Romans used it. The Romans actually used like a date vinegar to mix with water as a very refreshing drink. So vinegar on its own is very healthy for you. And I like to use the organic apple cider because it's got all the enzymes in it. But basically, it's just plain vinegar, fruit, and sugar. I mean, what could be easier? And it makes a lovely gift from the kitchen, really pretty. I have the recipe on my site along with the picture, too.
Yeah, good colors, too, when you store them. So, again, it's always cool to talk to Rita Heikenfeld because she gives you ideas on how you can get things that are cool and interesting without having to pay an arm and a leg at the store for them. So now you know how to make shrubs. Rita Heikenfeld, thank you so much for being with us. And we've got abouteating.com linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you next week, Matt.
And very quickly, Anna, she referred to a mushmelon. She's making a shrub with a mushmelon right now. Do you know what she means by that?
No.
If she said muskmelon, would you know what she meant?
No.
If she said cantaloupe, would you know what she meant?
Yes.
Okay. I have a poll right now on my Twitter feed. That melon with the orange middle that you eat in the summer, do you call it a mushmelon, a muskmelon, a cantaloupe, or does your family have some other weird name for it?
I call it a watermelon. That's what I eat in the summer.
Oh, you're saying you don't eat cantaloupe?
I have eaten cantaloupe, but I don't buy cantaloupe. I buy watermelons. I guess it doesn't have an orange center, though. So
can you wrap watermelon in bacon? You can't do that.
Ugh.
You can do that with cantaloupe.
That's an interesting point.
Half past the hour. Here's Anna with news.
A hurricane may be forming out in the Gulf of Mexico. NBC meteorologist Bill Caron says the storm is centered just south of Tallahassee.
It's not organized. There's no center of low pressure, so there's nothing to officially track yet. But the Hurricane Center says there's about a 90% chance during the next 48 hours this is going to become a tropical depression. We are waiting to see if it can get its act together. It has 3 days to try to grow into whatever it's going to become, and then it's going to head most likely for somewhere near the Texas-Louisiana border or maybe just southern Louisiana. What we do know is that we're going to get heavy rain out of this, regardless of the intensity. How much surge and how much wind we have to deal with is the million-dollar question.
If winds from the depression reach 39 miles per hour, it will become Tropical Storm Barry. President Trump is defending his Secretary of Labor as some lawmakers are calling for him to resign. Lisa Carter reports.
President Trump is speaking out about Labor Secretary Alex Acosta, who's under fire for cutting a plea deal with politically connected sex offender Jeffrey Epstein in 2008 when Acosta was a U.S. attorney in Florida. Trump saying yesterday,
I can only say this from what I know and what I do know is that he's been a great, really great Secretary of Labor. The rest of it we'll have to look at. We'll have to look at it very carefully.
Epstein is now facing federal sex trafficking charges in a new case, this one out of New York. Acosta called new sex trafficking charges filed against Epstein this week horrific and defended his agreement with Epstein. Lisa Carter, NBC News Radio.
A federal court in New York says President Trump cannot block his critics on Twitter. The appeals court yesterday upheld a lower court order that said Trump was violating the First Amendment by blocking users who are critical of him and his policies because he uses Twitter for official government business. The faithful in Eritrea are nearing the end of 17 days of fasting and prayer at the urging of the country's bishops after a government decision to close 22 Catholic-run hospitals. From Vatican Radio, Sister Carmelan Coutinho reports.
17 days of fasting and prayer. That's what Eritrea's Catholics are being asked to do in response to the government's decision to nationalize all church-run hospitals. Archbishop Abune Tesfamariam of Asmara condemned the decision to close Catholic-run health facilities, saying only the Lord can console us and resolve our problems. He said the decree came after Eritrea's bishops criticized the regime of Isaias Afwerki, the president, since 1993. In April, the bishops released a pastoral letter requesting a national reconciliation process to guarantee social justice for all Eritreans. Earlier this month, Eritrea's central government ordered all 22 Catholic-run hospitals to hand over ownership to the state. Administrators refused to comply and referred government officials to the Catholic Bishops' Conference, who also denied the request. The bishops say soldiers were seen intimidating hospital personnel and setting up surveillance on the religious communities that run the structures, according to Fides News Agency. The government promptly closed the health facilities, most of which are located in remote areas. I'm Sister Kamalan.
And a Chicago-area religious sister who gained national attention last year for her pitching arm is up for an ESPY Award tonight. Sister Mary Jo Sobiech went viral after bouncing a baseball off her arm and then firing a perfect strike while throwing out the first pitch before a White Sox-Royals game last August. As a result, The religious sister from Marian Catholic High School in Chicago Heights was nominated for the 2019 ESPY Award for Best Viral Sports Moment. That's the news. It's 35 past the hour. The
In the market for pool supplies, sunscreen, sunglasses, or summer reading books? If you're planning on heading online to Amazon to purchase anything for summer, don't forget to go first to sunrisemorningshow.com.
Once there, click the Amazon button, which will take you to a normal Amazon page, and you can shop as usual. You won't spend anything extra, but you will be earning us a nice commission for sending you there.
It doesn't matter what you buy, so stock up on summer supplies, because it all helps us to fund the show.
So remember, that's sunrisemorningshow.com. Click on Amazon.
What does the church say about purgatory? One of the things that separates the Catholic faith from most other religions of the world is the concept of purgatory. Catholics believe that heaven is restricted to those souls having no trace of sin remaining. But most of us die with the effects of sin still marking our souls. God then, in His great mercy, spares from eternal damnation those who are not in a state of serious sin at the time of death, allowing the stain of past sins to be removed that their souls might be made pure. In purgatory, souls suffer for a while in satisfaction for their sins before they can enter heaven. The principal suffering of these souls consists in the pain of experiencing an intense longing for God. We believe, too, that purification can be assisted by the prayers of the living. Thus it is that we offer prayers for the dead at Mass, on All Souls Day, and hopefully every day. We do all this because we believe it is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead. For more information, contact your local pastor or refer to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraphs 954 and 1030 through 32. For Sacred Heart Radio, this is Deacon Bill Mullaney.
It is the Sunrise Morning Show. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, the 10th of July. I'm Matt Swaim, joined now by Gary Zimak from followingthetruth.com. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Matt.
So, a lot of times when we tackle verses in this ongoing series where we're addressing worry and anxiety in the Christian life, you'll pull out some pithy line of wisdom from a psalm or a proverb or a letter of St. Paul. Today we're pulling out a snippet from an actual story in the Bible.
Right, and this is a really neat one because normally when we think of Abraham, we think of this man of great faith. And certainly throughout the Bible, we see Abraham had an absolutely strong faith. But today, we get a glimpse of the real Abraham, and I picked this verse because I thought it's appropriate for any of us who are struggling with any kind of a situation in our lives. Sometimes we begin to doubt God. We may even laugh at him when he tells us something can happen in our lives. Well, that's exactly what happened with Abraham today. Genesis 17:17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" Pretty interesting, Matt, isn't it, that Abraham found this humorous? He was laughing because it sounded so ridiculous. At the time, he was 99 years old, and God was telling him he would be the father of many descendants, and he made this comment, "Can this possibly happen?" Well, the answer was yes, because 1 year later, Abraham did become the father of a child at the age of 100. Matt, with God, all things really are possible.
Well, and you know what? Abraham wasn't the only one who laughed, because yes. One chapter later, in chapter 18, there are three visitors, and the Lord kind of appears under the appearance of three visitors to Abraham and tells him basically the same thing, and Sarah overhears it this time. And she laughs to herself and says, "After I'm worn out and my Lord is old," meaning my Lord Abraham, "will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord says to Abraham, "Why'd Sarah laugh?"
Yeah.
And
right.
And Sarah was afraid because she knew she'd been found out. And so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." So God not only, you know, knows that he's got great things in store for us, but he also knows that we're not necessarily confident in all those promises.
Right, right. And here's the neat thing, Matt. Abraham was opening up with the Lord to be able to laugh in his presence. He had a good relationship with him. And I think one of the points that I get out of this incident, when I look at Abraham's entire life, it's that his faith, even though it was very strong, it didn't grow overnight. It built gradually through the years. So several years after this, Abraham was able to go through with the ultimate act of obedience when he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. I mean, certainly he wasn't at that point yet when he laughs at God telling him something very improbable could happen in his life. And I think for all of us, this gives us hope. This reminds us that, you know, our faith might not be as strong today as it will be tomorrow or maybe 10 years from now, but that's okay. We should really meet the Lord where we are and give him a chance to work some of these miracles in our lives by praying for what we need. Sometimes we hold back. We're afraid he might say no, or it might weaken our faith. No, I say go ahead and ask for whatever it is that you think you need, because this is one of the ways that our faith grows.
You know, Gary, I think this also highlights that there are a lot of different kinds of laughter out there. There's laughing at something because it's silly and a dumb joke. There's laughter of the kind that seems to make up so much modern comedy anymore, which is mocking other people in satire, where you're laughing at someone in kind of a derisive way. There's just laughing because you're having fun, but there's also kind of a laughter that you can't believe something this amazing is really on the table. I need to know, Gary, right now, when the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2018, did you laugh?
Oh man, I don't want to reveal how weak my faith in the Eagles really is. But yeah, I mean, I didn't expect that to happen.
You're like, ha, so, I can't believe this.
Yeah,
this is great.
Exactly. No, you're right. You're right. That's a very good point. And Matt, it happens all the time. I've just seen so many things in my life that have taken place that I never thought would be possible, but I felt the Lord could bring these things about, and I felt he was calling me to take certain steps in my life, especially with my full-time ministry, and things have turned out that I just never could have expected. So I just would urge anybody listening who's struggling with something, maybe something really improbable you need to happen in your life, you have an impossible intention, give the Lord a chance. And yeah, it's okay every now and then to laugh and say, oh, come on, Lord, you got to be kidding. Because really, a lot of times he isn't kidding, as he was not in this case.
Yeah, I mean, one of the strong signs of a good family is that you can laugh with one another as you're working on something difficult. I mean, yeah. That's part of what strengthens a family, is having that kind of bond. Again, not to laugh in a scoffing manner. But I mean, it's the same kind of principle at play when, you know, Mary is told that she's going to bear the Son of God. And when Zechariah is told later that he's going to have a child in his old age, you know, Mary asks a question, right? She asks a question as in, okay, so practically, how's this going to work out? Zechariah is like, what? Are you kidding me? That's never going to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's important to note, too, that even after Abraham laughed at this point, he went on to obey all the Lord's commands. I mean, he listened to the Lord. He took him seriously. He laughed, but he continued to be obedient. And look how it worked out for him. God did exactly what he said.
Yeah, it's an important point to mention. Also important to mention that example of Abraham and Sarah is what foreshadows what's going to happen with Zechariah and Elizabeth and the coming of the Messiah later on.
Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. And one of the criticisms that I've always heard about Zechariah is that he should have known about this story. He was a priest. He should have known about the story of Abraham and Sarah. But he doubted, despite knowing the facts. When we look at our Blessed Mother, there was no precedent for what happened with her, but yet she was able to believe. So that makes Mary look even better.
You know, the more you read Scripture, the better Mary looks. That's just kind of
right.
The deal. All right, well, Gary Zumach from followingthetruth.com, we got you linked at sunrisemorningshow.com, and I'm assuming that's where people can go if they want to bring you out to their parish for a talk on anxiety and worry from a biblical perspective.
Absolutely, Matt. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go.
All right, you can also find his podcast. You can find his many books. I think we're closing in on a dozen at this point. Gary, have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Matt. God bless you, my friend.
All right, and we move from that to divine providence in just a little bit. Father Jeffrey Kirby will be along, plus headlines with Anna Mitchell next. It's a quarter till. I'm Matt Swain, grateful that Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home.
Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. And services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels. Online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
The Lord calls and transforms the Comboni missionaries. He strengthens them with His Spirit and sends them to share God's love with the world's poorest and most abandoned. Do you desire to stand with and proclaim the gospel to the marginalized, the poor, the voiceless, the less privileged in the footsteps of St. Daniel Comboni? Do you feel called to be part of this missionary family? Learn more at combonimissionaries.org. C-O-M-B-O-N-I missionaries.org.
Have you considered energizing your business marketing plan? The Sunrise Morning Show is heard across the U.S. on more than 360 Catholic radio stations, reaching millions of engaged listeners in the heart of the morning commute. You can speak directly to a loyal group of like-minded people who prefer to use businesses who share their faith and values. Find out more about underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah at sacredheartradio.com.
Have you heard about Lord Teach Me to Pray? Lord Teach Me to Pray is a prayer series based upon the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Training retreats will be held this summer and fall in various parts of the country. Go to lordteachmetopray.com to find a training retreat near you. In this exciting time of the new evangelization, the best way we can share the faith is by strengthening our own relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Lord Teach Me to Pray is sure to be transformative.
Go to lordteachmetopray.com and click on Facilitator Training Retreats.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
A very wonderful woman I knew had four children, and all four died. And somebody went up to her one day, and they said, "Oh, what a pity." And she said, "Oh, no, what a blessing." If we don't begin to look at everything with the eyes of Jesus, you will become helpless and hopeless.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Now, 14 minutes before the hour, here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
A hurricane may be forming out in the Gulf of Mexico if winds from the current disturbance reach 39 miles per hour. It will be named Tropical Storm Barry. A federal appeals court in New York says President Trump cannot block his critics on Twitter because he uses his account to conduct official government business. And a Chicago-area nun who gained national attention last year for her pitching arm at a Chicago White Sox game is up for an ESPY Award tonight for Best Viral Sports Moment. Good luck, Sister Mary Jo Sobiech. Here's tonight on ABC. Right now, it's 13 till. Back with us on the Sunrise Morning Show is Father Jeffrey Kirby. We've been going through his book, Be Not Troubled, a six-day personal retreat with Father Jean-Pierre de Caussade, based on the spiritual classic, Abandonment to Divine Providence. Father Kirby, good morning.
Good morning, Anna.
Well, we are on to day six, the final day of your retreat today, and Father, as we reflect on what we've learned from Abandonment to Divine Providence over these weeks, what is our call to put all of that into action?
I think the main call is, if we were to look at all 6 days and see the retreat as one thing, which, by the way, it's been great to do this together for the past 6 weeks.
Agreed.
The final call is to begin to apply it, to actually bring it into our lives. And sometimes it can be small things, like, you know, okay, I won't check my phone while I'm talking to someone in a conversation, or, you know, I'm going to take a walk, a brief walk after, you know, my morning before I have lunch, just to maybe make a small resolution where we can each try to live in the present moment in a more profound way.
Well, tell us a little bit more about how Father Caussade closes out Abandonment to Divine Providence. What lessons do we learn from him?
Yes, after walking us through the present moment, he walks us through the realization that each moment is a sacrament. He leads us, of course, into the understanding of virtue. He brings us then through the understanding of the purgative way. And then he kind of, in a sense, gives this commission to us that says, okay, now we have to go and do it. So, you know, in many respects, we have to see his message as a total collection, we can say, to then go and to live that. So, you know, as the Lord reminds us, He loves us so much. He knows every hair on our head, and every moment He's there. And the Lord Himself would say, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today." And I think Beit Kasad is giving us that same command, that same mission, same opportunity.
Well, when we abandon ourselves to divine providence, does that mean that we ignore evil and suffering?
Yeah, see, and I tell you, so oftentimes when we say abandon ourselves to divine providence or surrender to the ways of God, people oftentimes think that, well, no, this is the real world. I have real problems. I have real bills. Like, I just can't do that. Right? And that's a misunderstanding, because in the Christian context, whenever we say abandon yourselves to divine providence, what we mean is, yes, like, fulfill your responsibilities. Yes, work hard. Like, be attentive to your duties. But then after that, surrender it, because after that, we have no power. We can worry and stress ourselves out and have health problems and find ourselves irritable and miserable and all this. We can do that if we want. That's a path of darkness. Or we do what we can. We play our part. We say, Lord, now it's yours. Like, please bless this. Show me what you want. I surrender to you. So for Father Beit Kasad, there's a very clear balance between action and contemplation, so between prayer and then that surrender.
And why is it important for us to understand the source of our fear, of these fears that you were just talking about, and our fear of God as well, as rooted in the fall and in original sin?
Yes, very much. For us as Christians, our original understanding of why we have this fear, why there is this brokenness or fallenness in us is very significant. Of course, we have a wounded nature. So we are not completed products. And so oftentimes this fear will come because we do question, like, is God good? Will He come through? Will He take care of this? Like, and these questions are radical questions of faith. Like, that doesn't pertain to our bills or our health or our relationship. Those questions are far deeper and really touch on the question of whether we really believe in God, not simply in His existence, but do we believe in God? Do we trust Him? He will come through. This will end for good. I do seek to love Him. I know that God will allow us to be blessed according to His divine providence. And that really is where Father Beit Kasad is trying to get us to, because we make that change and we say, yeah, I really do trust God. Well, then we really can't abandon ourselves to His will. Lord, I don't know where this is going to go, but I know that it's going to end well, and I trust You. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
And you know what I think is so important on that is our change in perspective, because we know that God is there. It's all about whether we recognize Him.
Absolutely. And you can imagine, like, this is, what Father Beit Kasad was definitely echoing through our tradition. I mean, this is what gave the early martyrs strength. Like, they were being led into an arena of lions. This is what gave Maximilian Kolbe strength in Auschwitz and Edith Stein in Auschwitz and all the holy ones who have suffered. And the people now among us, believers who are dying of cancer, suffering with Alzheimer's, or who just can't get their finances together no matter how hard they're working. It is so easy to allow misery and darkness to win. So, you know what, that's it. Like, God must hate me, or there must not be a God, and that's one path that a lot of people choose. The other is to say, this is a fallen world. I know that God is here. I know that He wants to be a part of this. I know that He's going to bring this out for good. And that acknowledgement of His presence, He is there, whether we acknowledge Him or not, but to acknowledge His presence, say, Lord, I'm just at wit's end, and I just give this all to You. Like, please help me.
Please help me. So what are some practical ideas as to how we can make this happen in our lives? What are some things that we should be asking ourselves as we seek to abandon our lives to divine providence?
Yes, and there are many opportunities. I try to list some of them in the book. If I can maybe just give one big one to listeners this morning, is to find that one area of your life that seems the most, for each of us in our lives, that most seems to plague or burden our heart. Is it money? Is it relationships? Is it health? To find that one big one and say, I'm going to really start to try to place this within a surrender to divine providence. So, you know, say the family is really struggling with money and so on. To say, I'm really just going to, every time I start to worry about things I can't control, every time I start obsessing about this, I'm just going to say, Lord, I trust you. I surrender this to you. And to enjoy that peace that God desires to give us.
All right. Yeah. Great advice from Father Jeffrey Kirby. The book is called Be Not Troubled. It's from Ave Maria Press, and you can find it linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Matt, I really enjoyed this series on abandonment to divine providence, because it really does put it in. I mean, not that the spiritual classic itself is something that we can't read, because there is a lot of practical stuff in there. But for Father Kirby to bring it to light like that, like, yeah, you know, maybe my family is struggling with money and I need to remind myself to constantly, in those moments of stress, to just, I mean, this is something Gary Zimak talks about all the time too. You know, you were just talking to him earlier this hour.
Yeah, that's been kind of a running theme for
these
the last,
things we just
last
need
half
to,
of this hour.
Yeah, we just need to remember to place these things in God's hand and trust that it's going to work out for our good in the end. And it may not feel like our good in the moment, but I think oftentimes, I know I've seen this in my life so many times, you know, I hand something over to God and then all of a sudden, you know, months later, I can look back and say, yeah, I saw God's hand in all of this. I may not have recognized it in the moment, but I can see it later. And that's why we trust.
Yeah. And you know how they say that denial ain't just a river in Egypt?
Mm-hmm.
Providence ain't just a town in Rhode Island.
Oh, neat. That was good, Matt. Beautiful words of wisdom from Matt Swaim.
You know, you spend that, you know, time talking so deeply and profoundly about a, you know, a core principle of our reliance on God. And
well, yeah. You know what? Somebody's going to remember that because you said it. So
you don't even have to. I didn't even trademark. You can just use that one for free. Use it for free. That's it for the Sunrise Morning Show for our EWTN family today. 2 hours coming up for our local audience. We'll talk to the rest of you tomorrow. I'm Matt Swaim for Anna Mitchell and all our guests. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace. Have you